name. Amen.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is for everybody who's been restored. D. Lawrence coming at you. Get up. Come on, y'all. Let's sing this song.
Got a story to tell you.
Yeah.
Some things that I've been through, but I'm here.
Yo, I'm here.
Oh, I'm here.
I like that.
Had some ups, had some downs.
Oh, if you only knew.
But I'm here.
Right now, I stand before you.
Oh, I'm here.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it truly blesses my soul to be here tonight to welcome you to Wounded No More for this Thursday, April the 14th, 2022. And now, my brothers and sisters, please welcome your anointed host and facilitator, Pastor and Prophetess Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Cook, for that introduction. I appreciate it. Tonight, everyone, thank you for coming to the show, Wounded No More. And I just thank God for giving me this opportunity to share with you as we grow together. Every time I do this show, I just want to remind everybody it is to edify, exhort, and to comfort. There's a prophetic nature to that. And, of course, we know Jesus is his life is a testimony, and it's a prophecy, spirit of prophecy. So, and everything that I'm trying to do on this show for years has to be about the word. We talk about all kinds of things on this show, but first and foremost, we talk about how important it is for us to be in relationship with the Lord and how we see ourselves and how we get our identity from him first and foremost. I just always want to let people know that once God gave me a big revelation about how important it is to live in an authentic place from him, then it was my charge. It was my charge to make sure that anything that I teach or get the opportunity to teach or to share with you all has to come from his word and his word first. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been teaching about so many different things, and it's really coming from the heart of God. And some of the things that I'm sharing with you all, of course, some of it's from my own experience, things that God's dealing with me about on some levels. But sometimes it's just a corporate word that hits all of us. And so I want to talk about the trifecta tonight. And things that I want to talk about tonight has to do with the word, faith, and truth. And one of the things that I always try to do is to make sure that anything that I'm teaching is a tool and something that you can use that will draw you closer to the Lord and help you understand who you are out of this. You're no longer a victim, but a victor. You're more than a conqueror, the word says. And so Wounded No More really means that way. And it really is a charge to grow, to develop, and be more mature in the word of God and in your walk with God and others. So I'm going to start off by reading where my inspiration for tonight came from about the trifecta, the word, faith, and truth. And so it came from Hebrews 4 and 12. As God was dealing with me about my own faith and or lack of faith or faith levels, he brought me back to Hebrews 4 and 12. Many of us are familiar with this, but when the Holy Spirit gets your attention about certain scriptures when you're studying them, he'll slow you down and have you focus on every word, every punctuation, every different translations, everything that he wants to focus on. And so I knew it was important that my faith grow in certain areas. I wanted to come against things and uproot some things in my life, and I didn't understand where they were coming from. And I didn't, you know, you get tired of stuff. You get tired of seeing the same things, and I'm talking about in yourself. And so because this show is called Wounded No More, the moment that the Lord heals you and you know that he's healed you, he begins to show you who you really are. And some things you just don't understand or know how to maneuver in the world. And if you're coming from dysfunction and you see this generationally, it's really hard. It can be difficult. But we have the Holy Spirit. We have power. We have been imbued with power. So when he took me to the scripture about the word, it says, because God's word is living. And I'm going to flip back and forth to two versions, from the Common English Bible to the Amplified Bible and maybe to the ESV as well through this whole teaching. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, which is our soul life, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature. It exposes and sifts and analyzes and judges the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Okay, So then I started to make notes, and anytime, not that I just don't understand the word, but anytime God's dealing with me with my, remember we're talking about the trifecta, the faith, the word, faith, and truth. I struggle with certain things. It's not that I don't believe the word. It's that when I'm struggling with, oh, guilt, or when I'm struggling with, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't understand that. And the Lord begins to say, well, what does the word say? Remember, it is full of power. It is active. It is effective. It is energizing. It is alive. It is sharp, and it analyzes and judges your thoughts and purposes. So let's go back to the word. Because remember, the word is alive. It's living. It's active. And that got me to thinking, y'all. That got me to really trying to understand, not trying to understand, but really gave me some insight to understand that when we read the word, of course, we have to value what we read and we have to believe it. And we've been told this for some of us ever since we were in Sunday school, ever since we were little kids. But I thank God for giving us the meat of the word. And like I said weeks ago, he chops it up in small pieces just so we don't choke on it and we really can eat it and live in his sustenance for us. So I thank God for the power of his word. So as he began to deal with my faith, he said, faith is what? It's the evidence of things seen, not seen. I'm not going to quote, excuse me if I misquote the scripture, because I realize each one of these topics, the word faith and truth, is a topic by itself. So I'm just trying to take you on this journey. He began to take me to Jeremiah 23 and 29 as well. So not only is the word active and alive, and it's energizing and sharp, and it exposes, sifts, and analyzes, Jeremiah says, isn't my word like fire, like a hammer that shatters rocks? This is what God was saying to him, declares the Lord. So is not my word like fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks in pieces a rock of most stubborn resistance? God's word, see that right there too. So then I begin to write down, the word is fire and is like a hammer and it's a sword. So when we, and it's, remember, it's alive and it's active. What does this have to do with my faith? Anything that I believe in, anything that the word says and I begin to take a hold of that and believe, it's coming down. It says in the Vines Dictionary, not just truth. Now we're going to talk about truth a little bit, and we're going to start with John, let's see, I'm going to start with John 14, when Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus Christ. So we talk about the life of Christ, and it's so important to us to study his life and study the things that he said. I mean, don't underestimate the power of the red letters. That was one of the first Bibles that I received when I was a child, was everything that Jesus said was in red. And, you know, I never understood the value of that or how important that was until I got to be much older, to understand how it is to live by his example, to live and to be able to sustain my faith. And my faith grows by the words of what Christ said, what Jesus said, how he lived his life. And so when he says, I'm the way and the truth, that word again comes up. But that truth goes back to the word of God. And in 1 John and John, one of the first scriptures I memorized as a child was, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Thank God, 1:1. And so all these scriptures just started surrounding me when I first went to pray to the Lord about my faith and where it was and where it should be and where I wanted it to be, and God saying where it needs to be. So he said, you just need to study the word. Just study my word and believe my word. And 1 Thessalonians, I like this. 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. We appeal to you, and this is one of the epistles, how Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, we appeal to you, encourage you, and plead with you to live lives worthy of God, who is calling you into his own kingdom and glory. We also thank God constantly for this. When you accept God's word, that you heard from us. You welcomed it for what it truly is. Instead of accepting it as a human message, you accepted it as God's message, and it continues to work in you who are believers. That's faith right there. Let's read it in the Amplified, the 13th verse. And we also especially thank God continually for this, that when you receive the message of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it as not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is effectual at work in you who believe. It's exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust and rely on it. That's faith right there. That goes all the way back to Hebrews, how it is active and alive. Because the moment you begin to believe it, it begins to work on the inside of you. And this is where truth is cultivated and grown. And people need to understand when you read the word, you can read about any subject. You can study about the love of God. You can study about the life of Christ. You can study in the Old Testament and the different prophets, how whatever you decide to study, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to, believe it. Believe it. A couple of weeks ago, I taught about that scripture. I think it's in Matthew about a miracle was being done. Jesus was asked to do a miracle, and the man, he told him, all I need you to do is just to believe. And he said, help my unbelief. And I began to expound upon what that meant, because it was helping me understand that this was a place that let my believing work. And this is what this means in Thessalonians. He said, it's exercising. It's working. It's alive. The moment that you believe the word, your faith will grow. And this is the place where truth is, because that's truth. See, what the Lord is showing me is truth. His word is truth. And so because it's truth, it's going to work. It's like a change agent. It's like adding. Many years ago, I did an experiment with some children at the church that I was in, and we began to take water with vinegar in it, and we took food coloring. We begin to put drops and show them what the food coloring did to the water and how it instantly changed it. And even after we had finished the experiment, the water was still changing and moving. And I use that as an example of how the Holy Spirit works in us. But really, that's what the word does in us too as well. It is constantly making and changing things. Just like Hebrews 4:12 says, what is it doing? It's analyzing, it's judging the things in our hearts. And our purposes is dealing with our motives, is dealing with our dysfunction. We believe it and we apply it to our lives. And I want to keep going here. And in Proverbs 30, verses 5, it says, every word of God is tried and purified. He is a shield to those who trust and take refuge in him. Every word is tried and true. Every word is somewhere. Every word, that's what I want you to focus on. All God's words are tried and true. In John 18:38, it says, Pilate was asking Jesus, what is truth? And after Pilate said this, he turned to the Jewish leaders and said, I find no grounds for any charge against him. What is truth? That's a whole message by itself. And see how we're, you know, Resurrection Sunday is coming up, but the reason why I posted that one is he was dumbfounded by the life of Christ. He began to question things that he had never questioned before, like what is truth? What is truth? Philippians 4:8, for the rest, brethren, and whatever is true, and this is what I want you to focus on in Philippians 4, because we always talk about what to think on, and we go to Philippians. But there's only a couple of words in here I want you to focus on based on what I'm trying to teach tonight. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just and all that is pure and all that is lovely and all that is worthy of praise. And then that was in the Common English Bible, in the Amplified Bible. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, and honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, think on these things. when I think about people dealing with mental illness, this is one of those good verses. The people that are dealing with anxiety, thought processes that are just all over the place, they can't sleep, they're restless. There's a lot of mental things going on. And it says, think on these things. First, brethren, think on these things. Whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable. And different versions say, whatever is true, that is true. I know the word is true. So I can meditate and think on the word all day long, no matter what I'm thinking about or praying about. I know that's going to bring me peace. That's going to help me be stable. That's going to help me focus. That's going to help me align with the purposes of God. That's going to help me have more fruit based on Galatians 5. That's going to help me walk in love. That's going to heal me in areas and help me serve better. So there are so many things when you talk about faith and truth and truth. And then you start to talk about the word. You can't talk about truth without talking about the word. And you can't talk about word without talking about truth. And talk about the belt of truth. Remember how we talk about the armor of God? That belt of truth. When you think about how a belt is used in the natural to hold up your garment, to stabilize things. And I'm sure many of us can think of different things that belts are used for in the natural and be able to understand why they were talking about girding your loins. You're holding something up. It's like it's a stabilizer. The truth and the word of God, because it's the word of God, it is a stabilizer. People are going through so much. They are dealing with so many things, even people in ministry. And when you get back to the word of God, not just to say, okay, I read the Bible, but it didn't really change my life. Begin to say, Lord, that when I begin to read this word, it's going to change what's going on the inside of me. Just like what it's supposed to do. The word is going to do what it's supposed to do, what it's for, because it's truth, power, and it's active. And it affects everything in our lives, and it's supposed to. So sometimes we read the word, and it just convicts us. Kind of makes us, for some of us, feel bad. It challenges us. It makes us accountable. It reminds us who we are, but it reminds us who God is. And it reminds us who Christ is and what he came for. What was his purpose? What does that have to do with me everyday life, going to work or being a parent or being a wife or being a husband or serving or being a pastor or being a leader? How do I live that every day? First of all, I know it's the truth. I know it's full of power. I know it's active. I know it's energizing. So therefore, it's going to help me in every area of my life, period. There are some great writers, people that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit, that have written some great books about all kinds of topics in the body of Christ. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes down to just taking the word purely and just sitting down and reading it, where however you're led to read it, and let it minister to you where there is brokenness, where there is lack, where there is confusion, where there is restlessness, where there is pride, where there is fear, no matter what it is, you go to that book not because it's a help. You know how people have, you know, I'm trying to think of the term people say. There's a whole section in libraries and in bookstores called the do-it-yourself, or I can't think of the term, but it has to do with, like, go there and get all the help you need from that one book. That book is going to change your life. And I am a big component of reading, and I love books. But at the same time, I know that the word is active, so it's not just black letters on a white page. I know that to be the fact. That's the fact. But if I look at it that way, I will have limited results in my life as a Christian with the worldview. When I look at the examples of Paul, when I look at the examples of Jesus and Timothy and Daniel, whoever, and I begin to study that and ask the Lord to speak to me to that, there comes in the truth, there comes in faith, and there comes in the word. All these different components are always present there at one time. And as I begin to just sit down and take my time and begin to read the word of God, and not just, you know, not just a verse, but try to read it in context based on what it is. So a lot of times the Lord will give me a scripture. I'll give you a perfect example. He'll give me a scripture. He gave me one today. And I'll just share with you because this is how God deals with me. And be open to how God wants to deal with you because he deals with us all different, especially when we begin to pray for certain things that we need in our life. And he begins to answer those questions. And he'll take us to a scripture and begin to excavate and help us understand this is what that means and this is what this doesn't mean. That's not, you know, you're leaning to your own understanding when you do this, or you're leaning to your own, you're not seeing it the way that I'm seeing it, you know. And the word draws that out. The word draws that out. So he was just a scripture that says just something that we hear every day. All things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord, right? So I wrote that down, and he said, that's not the message for the day. The message for the day is to find out why I believe Paul said that. I'm just going on my memory. Who's Paul talking to? Why was he saying that? So the Lord deals with me about that because it's not that he just wants me to have a topical knowledge about something. Oh, all things are working together for my good, and I'm repeating that all day long. Understand where the context of that was coming from. You know, because he really wants us to have the fullness of it. That's an example of the word is active and alive. And every time it is affecting and energizing a thought process in me. If I feel like I'm dealing with some difficult issues at my job can be very difficult. There's a lot of technicalities to it. And I know that through Christ, I can do all things that I need to do. Why did Paul say that to them? What were they going through that he said that to them? And why was he inspired to say that to him? Why was the Holy Spirit inspiring him to say that? So when you begin to think about studying the word and meditating it, meditating on it all day, whatever God is inspiring you, he could have you on one scripture for a month and weeks because he wants you to get every piece, a nugget out there so that you can live that. The moment that we begin to believe the word and meditate on the word, not just repeating it, not just memorizing it, but understand what we're memorizing, it is going to be effective in our life. So every time there's a fiery dart or a negative thought that comes up, that word is intervening. It's like we consider like negative thoughts, fiery darts, right? But I look at the word, when it begins to come up in your memory, and it comes against that fiery dart. It's like a missile versus a dart. A dart's nothing compared to a missile. And so when we begin to think, I'm telling you, that is what the power of the word is capable of. It is like a hammer. It is like fire. It is a hammer that breaks up things in small pieces. So no matter what resists the word, what resists you, especially living in this life, what resists you living the word, remember that the word is like a hammer. All these things are being broken up into pieces. They can't come against the word. It is active, alive. It is sharp. So you see how I keep repeating me? It exposes, it sifts, it analyzes, it judges. This is what the word does. And that in itself will be able to give you a wealth of truth. It'll give you the wealth of truth. And remember how Jesus was constantly saying, especially in the book of John, all of the Johnning books, 1 John, 2 John, the book of John, talks about that a lot, about the truth of Christ and who he was. He was the truth. So if you begin to study that, I'm not going to give you all my nuggets because I really want to inspire you. Whatever the Lord wants you to get out of this tonight, that you will get it. You will get exactly what he needs to do. I keep going also feeling like I need to repeat 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13, how Paul was understood a lot to say to them and encourage them to say that the moment that you believed it and took it as true, it began to work inside you and change you. He's talking about the gospel. It began to change you because you believed it. It was doing a work inside of you, you know? When people are coming from a place of brokenness and people that need to be healed and they've gone through a lot of trauma, you know, life has been hard on them. I've heard this many testimonies. I've heard some testimonies about people saying all I had available to me was the word of God. All I had was a Bible. And they begin to read that Bible and it changed their very life. It didn't mean their life wasn't hard or that they didn't have struggles, but there was something on the inside of that word because it's active and alive. Why wouldn't it change them? Maybe their whole motive for picking it up was, you know, I believe in the sacredness of this book. I know it's, you know, I believe in God, but I don't understand. They didn't have an understanding, but they picked it up and read it, and it changed their life from cover to cover. You hear about people being homeless. You hear about people being incarcerated and how the word began to work on the inside of them the moment that they read it. And the more that they read it, it's kind of like drinking water. The more that you drink water, the more you're going to want water, and nothing else will ever satisfy your thirst. And I've done it, and I need to really get back to doing it. I've had this in the natural where I just said, well, I'm just going to start drinking water every day. I'm going to drink this much. And I noticed this in my own self. The more that I start drinking water, the more I didn't really want anything else but water. We would go out, you know, you can get all kinds of drinks, and I'd be like, no, I just want some water, because nothing else really could satisfy my thirst. As a matter of fact, anything else I drank instead of water would make me thirsty for water. That's what the word does. It makes you thirsty. The more you read it, the more you believe it, the more you do it, the more it'll make you thirsty for more of the Lord, for more understanding to serve. I'm telling you, it will. And it happens. It doesn't happen overnight. I'm not going to say that. It doesn't. But I remember reading something that caught my attention one time about praying that God give you more of a desire to read his word and study his word. And I have a degree in biblical studies, and we were studying it from a technical, you know, standpoint, technical and clinical, but I learned a lot, and it helps me study even to this day. But one of the things I will have to say is, we would read inspirational things too, because most people who were in this program were ministers or just had a relationship with the Lord. And it was saying how to read it, not just to teach it, not just to understand it, but for relationship. And when I started to read the word from that standpoint, that it totally brought me to a different place of faith. And you see how it's faith to faith, glory to glory, and faith to faith. So even though, and it's constantly, God's constantly challenging me with my faith level. And all that means to me, in a lot of ways, is read more of the word and stay on certain things and soak in certain things until you gain understanding. And once you gain that understanding, what you'll find is you will be doing it. Because I didn't want to just say, I read the word, I studied, I have all this knowledge, but it's not changing my life. What is the point? That's another, and so, what you'll find is the more that you study the word, the more that it will cultivate certain prayers in you, in your life, not just for you, but for others. See, the word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Remember, we're talking about the word, we're talking about truth, and we're talking about faith, and they all work together. So why would that be a scripture? The word is a lamp to my feet. It really is. A light elevates, illuminates rather. Whatever is in the dark, the light brings out. You can see. You're not blind. You're not confused. You're not conflicted. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It truly is. And it purifies areas in your soul. That means your will, your mind, and your emotions. It purifies you to a place of obedience, to a place of submission, to a place of understanding, to a place of wisdom. God wants us to have the right foundation. And a lot of times he deals with the motives in our hearts. And that's one of the things that the word does. It begins to show us where our heart is. It brings us to repentance, even to remove some of these things, to uproot some of these things. And it's great to start your day with the word and end your day with the word of God and just be able to let God talk to you. So that scripture he gave me today, he gives me things all through the week. And I write them down. And then when I have time, I go back and I study. And then I begin to talk to the Lord. Well, what do you mean by that? And some things are not just for me, of course. They're for people in my life. They're for ministry, you know, different things. There's collective work. There's collective work that are for the whole, not just for one. And so when we begin to focus on that, it's so, so important to be. And I believe that the Holy Spirit helps makes us conscientious and sensitive to his presence so that no matter what we're doing, we're hearing the presence of God. We carry the presence of God with us. We're not so detached and shut down. Because I tell you, when you get busy, even in ministry, sometimes you get so busy and you get so tired that you forget about, you know what, the Lord's with. I can do this. You know, he's helping me to be faithful. Or he's helping me to walk in love. Or he's helping me to be at peace. And so help me. He'll help you focus too. He'll tell you, don't focus on that. Because, and then there'll be a scripture sometimes that'll come up and kind of fortify what he said to you as well. Because God talks to us like our very closest friend. He's closer to some of us than any of our family members. And I think that's what it's supposed to be like. But I just wanted to bring this to you tonight and encourage you about the word and faith and truth and how they all work together. You may not be struggling in your faith. You may not be, God may not be challenging you about your faith right now. But one thing I will say is that he may be dealing with you about truth. What is truth? Because you hear a lot of people, they'll definitely define you what truth is. You know, they'll tell you what truth is and what truth is not. But it's like, what does the word say? Isn't that my reference? Is the word of God? I better figure this out. You know? And so I just want you to be encouraged tonight and know that God is for you and he is with you. And his word is something that will never leave you or forsake you. It'll help cultivate truth. It'll help you be at peace. It'll help you focus. It'll give you wisdom. It'll give you guidance and so, so much more. And I want to pray with you tonight that you be encouraged. And know that if God is for you, who can be against you? Remember what Jesus said. Remember his words tonight, if that's what's encouraging you. Whether you're thinking about the crucifixion or, you know, thinking about how he died for us this weekend and he rose from the dead and that whole story about our salvation, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whatever it is this week that you're thinking about, whatever this, listening to this message has encouraged you, I pray that first and foremost you hear God's word and you follow after him. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, today that we will be still and know that you're God. We'll understand, Lord, your word more and begin to walk in a place of truth and begin to have more faith to love, to love, to speak love and truth, to whatever it is that we need more faith in, to walk out on faith. Know that it's available in us because we have the Holy Spirit. And that when we read the word, that we don't just read it like we read a newspaper or a magazine, but we begin to read it and know that it is active, effective, alive, it's sharper, exposes, it sifts. It is like fire and it is like the hammer that breaks the stones in small pieces. And show us what that is tonight, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And I thank you for this opportunity tonight, everyone.
Amen. You have been listening to Pastor and Prophetess Vanessa Carver with Wounded No More. Hallelujah. She just brought the trifecta on tonight. Hallelujah. And we just praise God for her. And if you would like to reach out to Prophetess, and Pastor, you can do so via Facebook, or you can always reach out to me. If there's anyone sitting in the studio that has a comment or question, you're more than happy to ask it. We encourage you to ask questions or make comments. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But, and you can do so by pressing your 1. This will let on your keypad on your telephone, and this will alert me that you want to join this conversation. I just want to thank you, Pastor, for this very timely message. You know, we really got, we have to know the truth, and it's got to be God's truth. It can't be the truth according to us. It just seems like a lot of Christians these days, you know, their faith is based on the truth according to them. And that's why we're not seeing the power. That's why we're not seeing the miracles. That's why we're not seeing the explosion of revival, because, you know, so many of us, our faith is based on our truth instead of God's word. So we've got to get into God's word. We've got to believe God's word. So once again, you have been listening to Prophetess and Pastor Vanessa Carver with Wounded No More for this Thursday. Hallelujah. And we just pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. Have a wonderful and miraculous Good Friday and a beautiful resurrection weekend. So it is our fervent prayer that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household of faith to yours, it is always our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night from all of us at Wounded No More and the Spirit Alive Network. Good night. God bless. Hallelujah.
Good night. Thank
you,
Bishop.
Beautiful job, my sister.
Okay. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless.
God bless you.
You too.